Excellent. Good morning. Just what Pastor said, I just want to come this morning, just first of all, thank this church. And I know Brother Frank would want to thank this church. Every time this body of Christ is asked, turn that one down. Every time we're asked to step up financially or to help a brother, this church always comes through. And it was 4 or 5 years ago that we had a tragedy here. And by the grace of God, and we've watched the grace of God in this church time and time again. If I start crying today, we saw it work time and time and time again in this church. God is faithful. Even when we're not faithful, God is faithful. And so this morning, first thing I want to do is just talk about this mission trip. Again, thank you. This church stepped up financially. Not only financially, I felt Wade praying for me. Not that anybody else wasn't, but Wade and Larry, I felt their prayers while I was over there. And I just want to tell you, I was just telling Ellen, this Philippines trip made teen camp look like the Hilton. This was very stretching for me. I just want to tell you, I was in fear. Just be straight and honest. I wanted to go for a couple of reasons. I'll tell you why. I wanted to go because I'm one of the men's leaders on Tuesday night here, and the men on Tuesday night really helped fund this ministry in a big way. Just back it up a second. I'll tell you why. 4 or 5 years ago, about 4 years ago, this gentleman at the time, Frank DeLoya, would come to our Tuesday night men's. He also came when I ministered on Monday night at Men's Discipleship Network. And over time, he got to be one of the guys, and it came out that he has a little ministry. And he feeds a week and hands out tracts. And I was like, wow. And it came out that at one point in time, he was married to a Philippine woman who actually, they wound up being divorced. She just wanted to be an American citizen. But he fell in love with the people over there. And he just was, he was doing this out of his own pocket. And you say, wow, feeding two or 300 out of your own pocket. Well, the finances over there are nothing like they are here. A $20 bill over there feeds, you know, 60, 70 kids for a day. I mean, here's what I'm going to tell you. You probably hear it three times during this message. Rice is life. Three times a day they eat rice, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And if they're lucky, there's a vegetable. And if they're really unlucky, there's a fish or a meat. And I say that because they took me to the market while I was there. And I ate rice and eggs just for 9 days. And I don't have, my wife will tell you, I can eat anything. But when you see how many flies are on the fish and on the meat, there's more flies than fish or meat. It's nothing like we can conceive. The people are wonderful. They really are. They're just trying to get by. But let me bring it to Frank. So Frank came a couple years ago, and he had said this to us. So we started donating, and then I felt compelled in introducing Pastor Rob, and he came and he spoke here, and we gave him more money as a church, and it just was put on my heart. I've been an elder at the church, what, Joe, 15 years or so, a men's leader, and so we're giving money to him. I just felt this obligation to our family. Where is our money going? I've always been the financial guy on the board, and where is our money going, and is it being spent the right way? And I just felt compelled to go over there. And again, with fear. Here's the fear. I grew up in the 60s, and Vietnam was happening. And if anybody's, you know, right around 58, 62, I was in fear of being drafted. And I saw the black and white televisions and and the body bags and the, and so no disrespect, I was afraid of Asian people, and to this day I just want to just tell you that. And so I desperately wanted to go with somebody on this trip, just anybody, right? I begged Wade, he couldn't make it, and this one couldn't make it, and this one couldn't make it. And at the last minute, my wife will laugh right now, my niece came over and she said, she's not a Christian, and hey, Uncle T, I'll go with you on this Philippines trip. And she thought we were gonna be laying on a beach or something. This is, you know. She's not a Christian, and by God's grace, just didn't work out. You know, she just wanted a free trip to the Philippines. And I haven't told her. I said, if you raise half the money, I'll pay, I'll make sure you can go. It just never transpired. And at the last minute, my daughter called from Alaska, and she's off from work right now. And she said, Dad, I'll go, you know. And my wife was like, wow, that'd be great. 10 days with your 24-year-old daughter and missions. And she's been on missions before. And it was really starting to sound good. And God just put a damn right. He wanted me to go over there, and he wanted to rip me apart and stretch me. And he really did a job, because it was a 16 and a half hour flight to the Philippines. And when I landed there, I mean, when you get on the plane, basically, it's one of these jumbo planes I've never been on before, where it's, you know, five in the middle, three on the sides, there's an upstairs, it's huge. And if there was 10 white American people on the plane, I'm lying, there wasn't that many. So you're a little out of your element. And, but I kept asking God, just use my hands and feet, use me while I'm going, use me. And we wait there for a couple hours and we have to jump another flight to Palawan. Well, lo and behold, Frank tells me that his love is not only because he fell in love with the kids, but his dad fought in World War II over in this island, Palawan. First of all, anybody realize that the Philippines are made up of 7,100 plus islands? Wow. It's not, you know, the United States. It's 7,100 different islands. And a lot of these islands, as the tide comes up and the tide goes down, that's the island. Boom, there's a place to live. Now you're underwater. And people live there. And it's coral. So it's not like rock. It's zero like this. It's you're out there. And so the first day I'm like, okay, how are we gonna get this started? I'll come clean. I was staying in a nice hotel, right on the strip, but it was a nice hotel. It was a bed, it had a shower, it had a pool. You know, a shower is huge over there. It's whatever. So the first day he says, okay, this is what we're going to do for ministry. We're going to have 13 kids come over to your pool and go swimming. I go, wow, this is going to be a Mickey Mouse ministry. I mean, we went to Mexico. But what I didn't realize is out of those 13 kids, none of them have ever swam in a pool before. Now, these kids were from 8 to 14 years old. None of them had ever been in a pool before. I found that a little, you know, definitely different. Our kids know what a pool is, you know. They swam in clothes, you know, they didn't really all have bathing suits or anything like that. And the other funky thing was there was a lot of 13, 14, 15-year-old girls. And I'm saying, yeah, in America, this doesn't cut it. What's a 58-year-old man and a 60-year-old man doing with 14, 15-year-old girls? It dawned on me that after a while, I'm swimming around a pool, and he only let them swim in the baby side in the beginning because he didn't know who could swim or not. And then one by one, we would call him out and say, okay, swim over here. I want to see if you can swim. Otherwise, I got to keep my eyes on you. You're drowned here. And none of these kids really have a dad who's ever touched them. The men over there are non-existent. It's bizarre. I was over there for 10 days. If I met two men besides the pastors, I mean real men, that's what I met. I met one 23-year-old young man that loved the Lord, but the men are non-existent. They drive these tricycles. Matty's going to put up in a second now. Matt, put. I got a slideshow. It'll just run and just point out some of the things. But they drive these motorcycles. They're about 125cc, but a sidecar. Almost looks like the old German, but has a roof on it. And this is how the men make money, because nobody, you know, that's how you travel. You jump in one of these, they're called tricycles, and you pay 20 cents to go from here to Colosseum. You catch that? 20 cents. It would cost us $12-$15. And this is how these guys, this is, can you see that, or it's too light? Yeah, it's a shame. Yeah, it's, I mean, too bad. Shut the light, the soffit lights, Matty, he said? I don't know how much light. Oh, they, how's that? Much better. Okay. So anyway, they travel around on these tricycles, and the fathers do it, and they do it 24/7. They sleep in them. You'll see a guy sleeping. The fathers may come home, and when they come home, they drink. And you'll know that by a couple of the pictures out here. There's bottles right next to the, they don't throw the bottles away. They burn. I don't care if you stay in a nice hotel, you smell the garbage burning 24/7. And, you know, it gets into you. I mean, it's really, you're saying, where's the hope? And that's what this man brings. This is some of the motorcycles that they drive around on. You can see the sides of the roads. That's what Frank brings. This ministry is really bringing the hope of Jesus Christ. He is bringing Jesus Christ. And he's bringing it in the form of, he stopped handing out tracts because he came to a lunch with another gentleman who used to come on Tuesday nights. He comes Monday nights and Thursdays, Artie Martin. And him and Artie were kicking it, and he said, well, what if you brought Superbooks? And by God's grace, they had this Superbooks. Now, we have Superbooks in the back. Tim uses it. Why isn't it so effective? Well, these kids don't have television. They don't have distractions like we have. They don't have worrying about making money, or they don't have the TV, the clothes. What are you going to wear? What you're wearing is what you're wearing. That's it. You have one pair of shoes, and it's not shoes. It's those old rubber flip-flops, and that's what they go around in this coral ground. Some of the ground here you'll see is just... And we went there to minister this, and she had asthma. So me and Frank, we got her a nebulizer and the medicine, and we gave it to her. And you're thinking, okay, great, you know, maybe... We come back 2 days later. Hey, how's the baby? Well, we don't have electric. And you're like, ah. So we had to go, and this is a God thing. This is how I know this. Every penny of your money that you invested is being used so wisely. We went to like a local, what we might call a bodega or a candy, you know, like, it, you'll see pictures of it here. And he said, well, listen, you run on a generator. Could you possibly, do you know this woman? And she said, yeah, I know her, of her. Could she, if the baby's having a tough time breathing, could she come over and use your electric for half an hour? We'll pay. The ministry will pay. But she said, oh, no. She said, about a year ago, you helped my sister's brother. He was hurt. You took him to the hospital, you did everything, and you asked for nothing. This man asked for nothing from anybody. Takes nothing from them. He just gives. That's his thing. He just gives. And he watches every, I'm telling you, penny. I mean, he bargains with the guys you're getting the truck with and in the tricycle. And everywhere we went, and I was like, come on, just give the guy the money, you know. He goes, no. This is not my money. This is the ministry's money. I said, well, I'll give them the money, you know. And it's pretty, this is a Sunday school class. You notice it's kind of clean. They are very clean in that aspect. You don't see it. They have these little brooms that they sweep up the place, and it's very clean on that but they don't know, they don't, there's no running water, so they don't clean, as like they don't take showers. They take the water and, well, they're dressed, dump it over their head, and that's their shower. So a lot of people in this congregation gave money. So what we did is we went out and bought 100 toothbrushes, 100 toothpaste, 100 bars of soap. Bought, by the grace of God, we bought coloring books. And God had it so that the coloring books were all Christian coloring books. David and Goliath, I mean, all of them, creation. It was wonderful. When we looked at it, we said, thank you, God. I mean, and you thought we were giving these kids, you know, PlayStation or a new brand book. It's a different world that they're living in. But he goes about doing this. This is the setup right there. He made his own screen. He goes around like the Pied Piper in this van that you might have seen already. And this is it. And it's almost like what we would consider VBS when Tim comes up here. And he goes to these, they call barangay. It's little neighborhoods of these kind of houses. Well, this is Frank's house. I mean, he lives extremely humbly also. I mean, this guy is, he is ministering 24/7. If he's not doing super books with these kids or picking up these kids, yeah. Well, we gave out a lot of rice. We went around, you'll see a picture of me bagging rice there. Rice is life, and we did that. But he goes around, if he's not doing super books, he is taking a kid to school. If he's not taking a kid to school, we went to one of these, you might even see the little girl here. She had a hunk taken out the front of her head, the size of your thumbnail. Now, look at your thumb. She's a little girl with a head like that. And she's just walking around with this open wound. It just wouldn't happen here. He starts putting medicine. I'm like, wow, dude, you're not going to put gloves on or anything. And I'm not a squeamish guy, but it took me 2 days to give a kid a hug. I was like, you know, we went out, we bought lice. I didn't tell my wife this yet. But lice, you know, all these kids were lice infested, their hair. They were filthy. They were filthy. But yet, some of this you'll see, I love. They come, when he comes by with that van, and he goes by like every other day into all of these different places and meets the parents and meets the kids, and he'll honk the horn, and kids at from 2 years old to 14 come running out of the house like it's the Good Humor Man, and they give them, no, these kids. See, look at the kid's wrists. He's got all these rubber bands on. I'll talk about that. But they come running out of the house thinking that maybe today is the day he's actually handing out rice and we'll bring it home to my mom. Well, maybe today it's just a handshake, or maybe today it's I get to ride in the back of his truck to go to a Superbooks event where they're gonna give me fresh water and food later. And the idea behind this is the gospel's going out, and this is how I explain it. And this is also what moved my heart with this ministry is that we have so much distraction in our world. So you know. The ultimate. We're the ultimate distraction, this America. Over there, no distraction. If I were to say to a lot of the older people here, and I would sing a hum a tune, and I said, I wish I was a, you'd say, my arena. Right, you know that because we have television. If I said, da na 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 na, you'd say, Batman. Well, you know what these kids are going to know? They're going to know David. They're going to know Superbooks. They're going to know Jesus Christ because that's all they got. He is changing. It's amazing how 12 and 13 and 14-year-old girls are coming and are ministering. You can see in the background of that they come with the yellow shirts on, and they love it because they're part of this ministry now, and they're being fed. And on the Sunday, he brought me to church, and I got a chance to get up and speak. And I didn't get a chance to talk to you about this yet, but I thought it was the coolest thing. Little small Sunday church. It was a picture up there. And the pastor's wife came up, and this is how they started church. They would say, Mike, give me a scripture. And then Marilyn, give me a scripture. Antoinette, give me a scripture. And everybody had a scripture in the church. And there had to be 35 people in church. Not one was the same. And what it meant was, they're in the Word. They're in the Word. Everybody had, you know, a scripture. And it was wonderful. You know, I couldn't, and they called on me, which was awesome. You know, from, they don't, it was beautiful. They you're just part of them now. And they had the Sunday school outside with the chickens and the roosters going crazy right next to you. And it's just, this is a way of life, you know, the motorcycles going by. So there was a day where we minister. He, like I said, if he's not, you know, doing superbooks and setting up for that night, he's taking a kid to church or he's ministering. Well, basketball in the Philippines, believe it or not, is like their national sport. So every barangay, they might not have running water, and a majority of them don't, but they have a basketball court, a nice court. I mean, you know, except for where he ministers, where we ministered, it was the worst of the worst. It had to be. I can't get any worse than this. But the basketball hoops were rotted away. So I said, wow, that ain't right. Everybody else has got these hoops, and you see guys playing at night at one of these places. And I said, well, let's put hoops up. Well, how much could hoops cost? I mean, we went to the, but they were so appreciative of, you know, their kids could come and play. And what Frank said, he said, this is not about playing basketball. It's about building that we just give. So we want to love on you. What else can we do for you? You know, he'd be bringing milk to this mother, or, you know, healing that kid with Band-Aids and medicine. I mean, it was amazing. Or we're out buying toothpaste or rice, or, I mean, I consider myself a very hard worker. This guy worked me to the bone. I mean, and it is hot and humid. You need a rag in your pocket to just keep wiping sweat all day long. I don't care if you get out of the pool, you sweat. You come out of your hotel, you sweat. They don't have air conditioning, you know. They don't have running water. They, you know, they forget electric. When it's nighttime there's no way I can see any of you. Not even in the front row here. I mean, it's black. Pitch dark black. And he's the light. Because that van comes through, it has the lights on it, it has gizmo on it, and the kids know that he's bringing something. The love of Christ. They just run up to his van and they just want to give him a handshake. He's got this secret handshake that he does with the kids, right? And you can see how he is light in a very, very dark area. I mean, it blew my mind. And so I was ecstatic that I went, you know, I was very fearful. I won't even kid you. I didn't want to go alone, but I really felt compelled to, you know, like I said, we give a lot. And just wanted to make sure, just wanted that New York cynical, is our money being spent the right way? And so pleasantly surprised. I mean, I met a pastor who, you know, I told him I minister to men on Mondays and Tuesday nights, and this was in a different village called Buena Vista. I don't know if anybody took notice of some of those films. Matty, if you could just, can you just run that? There was a beautiful scene on the water with boats. I mean, this was a beautiful place. But it's a fishing village. And the fishermen, they can't go out when it's nice out. And they really can't go out when it's crummy out. They can't go out in the dark. And I said, so are they really fishermen, or, you know, when do they fish? And they fish off these little boats that have like pontoons. But the moral story is, it's a beautiful village where the pastor said he built this, very proud, he built this church. And to us, it was going down to the Amityville Pavilion. It was a pavilion. So they had... they were so thankful that we traveled 2 hours. Oh, here's one. We traveled 2 hours up into the mountains to get here. there was two girls that lived in that village, but they also lived down where we were because they went to college. And somebody of their congregation put them up. They were 18 and 20 years old, I think. And they rode in the back of this little truck for 2 hours with a smile. You can't imagine. There's no way an American girl's doing this. There's, you know, my hair, my this, my this. It was brutal. I mean, even sitting in the front seat with the air conditioner blowing on, it was brutal. And they came out with a smile that they were home, and that they were, and then they jumped right into their yellow shirts and ministered to about 75 kids. And I was just amazed. But they, you know, I asked the one girl, and they all speak English to some degree, the young ones. He goes, well, we want to share it back with our village and have our kids. So the people there, I think this was the greatest bit of hospitality I've ever been shown. They invited us to dinner. Now, we had been ministered, we drove a couple hours, then we ministered for a couple hours, and then it's hot. I'm like, all right, I'm ready, I'm done. My wife will tell you, I need my nap, you know, I'm done. So now it's like 4 o'clock now, I told you, it gets pitch dark. Now we gotta go down the mountain in this van. It's a Tonka toy. It's got wheelbarrow tires, but it gets them around, but this is not even like our car. And this is it right here. And it looks beautiful, but these guys never go out. The moral of the story, the pastor says, hey, listen, T, would you consider coming back and speaking to our men? So then they start bantering back and forth. They're like, how are we going to get the men here? They're all drunk all the time. They're not fishing, they're drinking. That's it. That's the bottom line. So the night before I was going to leave, they invited us over. They had a place down where we were for coffee. And I said, all right, Frank, but I'm leaving tomorrow. Just let's make this, you know, an hour or two. And he said, well, what advice would you have for me? And I said, how about instead of being this overwhelmed, find two men and get around them and build them up. And maybe then you get one more guy. I mean, it's not going to happen overnight. This culture is not going to change overnight. But this guy, I can see the changes happening. I mean, kids are running up and kids are loving on this guy. You know how our kids have just so much. Well, the one picture at the end, you'll see a kid, he's got on his arms, if you notice, his rubber bands. And they play this game, they put two nails in the floor, in the dirt, and they put a rubber band across it. Now, I take off one of my rubber bands and I put it on it, and you take off one of yours, and then they shoot from about 25 feet, and you're like, come on, you ain't hitting that, you know. And they shoot, and if you knock the rubber bands off, they're your rubber bands. So whoever has the most rubber bands on their arm is like the best player, right? This is, you know, this third world, it's like this pitching quarters again, you know. That, and this is the market. And then they run around with a tire, and hitting a tire is their game. So the distractions that they have are very, very little. So I just wanted to, I know he'll run the rest of that, but I wanted to kind of bring this in. I know Pastor said he'll give me a couple minutes. I know I talk too long already. If you have your Bibles, just open up to Romans 12. And how I want to bring this together is like this. We know Pastor had just taught on Romans. We've all heard as he talks about the wages of sin. You know, then he moves on. He talks about in 5, 6, 7, 8, about how the Holy Spirit is birthed within you. And I'm assuming everybody here has received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. There's a good chance. Anybody who hasn't, please don't be ashamed to raise your hand. But for those who have, okay. So the power of the Holy Spirit lives within us. We are a body of Christ here. This is our family. And I'm ashamed. I as I was praying and as I was thinking about this, I don't know everybody in my family. And that's sad. For me, I don't know certain names. I don't know what your likes or your dislikes. And We are family, and I know his pastor has knows everybody. He's the pastor, but we should. God has put us in this point in time to be a family, a body of Christ. He talks about it all over his word. And so when he gets to 12, he puts a halt on it, and he says, now he's speaking to the church. Therefore, I urge you, brethren. That's us. We are the family. We are the brethren that he's speaking to. And he says, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice. A living and holy sacrifice. Sacrifices back then, what in the Roman days, what, you know, the priests would take the animals, cut them up, and put them on the altar, and they would cover our sins. Well, Christ just didn't cover our sins. He's called us to be separate. He's called us, he says, I will take away your sins. That's us, the family God. We have to know who we are in Christ. And he says, by the mercies of God, present your bodies as a living holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. That's our worship. As we are set apart, he set us apart. Okay, that's the power. He has called us to be his children. And then this is where it really, I'll start ending up. He said, in 12:2, it always gets me, it says, and do not be conformed to this world or this culture or this, what we live in here. He said, don't be conformed to that. He said, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And the renewing of your mind is one thing. Pastor Stein used to say it every single time from the pulpit. Pastor Rob says it. And good pastors will tell you. The renewing of your mind is being in God's word and asking him, God, do a work in me. Do a work. Let me hear your word. Let me get to know you and you get to know me. The real me and the real you. Renew my mind. Not if I went like this, if I asked, if you raise your hand, which guys in here know that it's opening day football? Okay, just a couple. I love that. Oh, they're starting to go up. Okay. Guys know, even the girls know, right? I mean, this is a distraction. And I'm not downing football. I'm just saying, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It is so important for the brethren to keep renewing our mind, to not live in this culture, to live as a family, a body of Christ. He calls it out down later about this body that we should, you know, some people are a hand, some are a foot. It doesn't matter. God gives different gifts to everybody. I've seen this happen, and I'll finish it by saying, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. That's in you. So that you will know the will of God that he put in you, Seb, that he called you a child of God. His. We got to know that we're his, and that's it. We're not the world's. By the grace of God, he has called us to be his family. And that should be taken a lot more serious than we do. And I'm preaching this to me first, as they would say. And I've seen this happen, this transformation. I've seen it happen in, like Pastor was saying, 4 or 5 years ago, our pastor had a terrible accident. And I remember being in that back room saying, okay, Pastor Rob, you're up. Like the Yankees, next man up. And he's like, I don't know. I don't feel it. And we get afraid. We get afraid of that call. And the men got around him and we urged him, right, Sal? We said, yes, you are. You're ready. We will be there with you. Joe was there. I mean, the biggest advocate was over there. He could do this. He's the man for the job. And we got behind him. And I got to tell you, we said, Pastor, you just preach. We'll take care of the bills. What's 4 or 5 years later? The transformation, the morphing, not only into a preacher, but a pastor. And by what Pastor Stein was known as the sovereignty of God, Pastor Rob's going to be known by the grace of God. That's what he says all the time. Good sermon, by the grace of God. hey, great job, great by the grace of God. Because he realizes what the grace of God is in his life. I see it happen with Sal. I don't want to be the leader. I'm not a worship leader. I can sing a little, but I'm not a worship leader. No. 3 Sundays in a row. Yes, yes, yes. You're the only guy who knows how to sing. By the grace of God, I don't know about you guys, but was this worship unbelievable today? And and Sally wasn't even here. The worship today was unbelievable. By the grace of God, we are his body of Christ. I listened to a gentleman named Chip Ingram, and I love this pastor. I mean, he preaches like Robbie. He preaches the truth and the word. And he says, this is what's missing in the Christian church today. Over the last 5 decades, millions upon 10 millions of Christians have come to call themselves Christians. Where is it? Where is it showing in the society? It's not. Because the power lies within the Holy Spirit. The power lies within, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So it's kind of like this. He says, we're having a water fight in the backyard. Everybody's got water pistols. Now they got the big guns. But definitely somebody goes and grabs that hose. Somebody goes and gets the hose. It's the power never gets turned off from that hose, right? Until what happens? The second guy gets smart and he does what? He goes and he kinks the hose. Now the power is turned off. And that's what's turned off here. Our hose is kinked. We are that's what this guy, that's the devil, your adversary, he wants to do. He wants to kink. I got to work more. I got to build, you know, I got to get a bigger house, a nicer car, a nicer this, a nicer. No. No. The men of God that I've always followed, Pastor Stein, Pastor Scott, Pastor Rob, they say no. They speak truth. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and life. He who follows me, eternal life. There's 2 things that Bible speaks about, from opening page to closing page. Okay? And the one thing that he talks about is there's a choice. Either you can spend eternity, the wrath of God, without God, or eternity with God. It's your choice. But there's a second thing that's about. And Thomas Caridi did it so eloquently the other day. He talked about transformation. He talked about sanctification, becoming more and more. Don't worry about tomorrow. We can't change our tomorrows. And you're not going to do yesterday's, and you're not going to do about tomorrow's. This is the day the Lord has made. Make a difference today in what God has given you. Don't worry about what, you know, I always tell people, listen, you want something moved? I'm your guy. Don't let me do your accounting. You know, God has given us all different gifts. Don't let me be the lead singer up here. Right, Ange? I this morning I was singing, I go, I never heard that song before. Angela goes, I know. So I thank you. And Frank thanks you. I mean, I just can tell you, on Tuesday nights, I just want to be, I'm so proud of the men. We started this thing, it's a rice program. And I said to the guys, listen, you guys give, everybody gives on their own. All I want to do is $1 from each guy, and there's usually 15, 20 of us, $1 every Tuesday night, and we will feed 400 kids that month on a buck. You can't get a cup of coffee for a buck. And if I said, I don't want your fives, I don't want your tens, right, guys? So I said, I don't want you to overgive. I just want this. This will take care of itself. God will bless this. And we've started this rice program for Buena Vista, and now it's morphed into 2 of his. So now that he can do other things as a ministry, and we keep urging him, keep the main thing, the gospel and the way you're going. But keep on ministering. So I just want to close in prayer. Actually, I don't want to close in prayer because Marty stole that before. Marty, I'd love for you to just read what you read before out of Colossians, I think it was. Good, stand up. Let him get to this, because it was of the Holy Spirit.
forgiven each other as the Lord has forgiven you. You also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, to which indeed you are called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus
Christ,
giving thanks to the God, the Father, through him.
Amen. Amen. That's it in a nutshell, that we as a family, he's speaking to the family there again, that we as a family need to love one another. And that's how, he said, this is how they'll know you, by the love for one another. And as we love one another as a church, the world will see it. Pastor Rob has said it a couple times. People have come in and said, wow, I can feel a love for one another in this church. And so I just want to thank you for the opportunity and just again close in prayer. Father, we thank you. I thank you, Lord, for the grace that's been given to me. I thank you, Lord, for this church and for the men of this church who have stood up and held my arms up when it was necessary. I thank you, Lord, for being my Lord and Savior. Bless this family, Lord. Your grace and mercy has always been here. Let us just love you with all our hearts, our souls, and our mind. In Jesus' holy name.